Please pray with me. Dear Lord, may this message not be my message. May these words not come from me, but may they come from you. May they serve your purpose and give you glory. Pray this in your name. Amen. We are in the second week of our sermon series called The Cross Without a Flame. And the cross and flame, as you know, is a Methodist emblem, sign, very recognizable throughout the world. And the flame part of that, of the cross, represents the Spirit, represents the Holy Spirit, or the life, or the power of the church. And so we're spending 3 weeks talking about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. What does that mean for the people of God? What does it mean for the church? What does it mean for us as individuals? And today, my title is Faith Without Fire. Faith Without Fire. How is our faith? If we didn't have any fire, if we didn't have the Spirit, if the Spirit were not active in the world, the Holy Spirit inside of us and throughout our community, where would our faith be? My contention is that we would have no faith, or it would be worthless faith. Faith without fire. It's an oxymoron, really. The scripture that we have this morning comes from the book of Acts. And this is the story of the Ascension. This is Ascension Sunday. This is the Sunday following Easter that we celebrate or recognize the day that Jesus left, ascended into heaven. And here's what Luke tells us in the book of Acts, verses 1, 4 through 11. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the story of the Ascension, the last time the disciples saw Jesus in person, saw Jesus face to face. He left. And no one, he's popped up here and there. But the disciples were without Jesus himself. His ministry was done. He went to go back to be with the Father. But he didn't leave the people. He didn't leave his disciples alone or hopeless, because he promised he would send the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to come to them, to be with them, to empower them, and to help them do what Jesus asked them to do, which was take the wonderful gospel into the whole world. And that's what we still are called to do today, right? And do you know that we still have the same Spirit today? Next week, Patty's going to talk about Pentecost Sunday. And that was the day where the disciples received the Holy Spirit. A wonderful, powerful moment in church history. Really, that was sort of the birth of the church, where the disciples and a small group of believers received the power of the Holy Spirit. An amazing time. And then the church just exploded in growth and power after that. But before that, they didn't have the Spirit. Because Jesus, in this passage, says, I'm going to go. I'm going to go back and be with God and the Father in heaven, and I'm going to go back to where I'm supposed to be. And I will send the Holy Spirit to you, but go back to Jerusalem and wait for it. Don't go try to do anything yet. Go back and wait for the Spirit. Because he knew they would get themselves in trouble. They would be challenged. They would be in danger, maybe even, if they tried to do anything before they received the Holy Spirit. So he said, go and wait. And when the Spirit comes, then you will have the power. Then you will have the wisdom. Then you will have perseverance. Then you will have all the things you need to accomplish what I've told you to accomplish. And that same exact Spirit is the same Spirit that we have now. The same exact Spirit. It's not different. It's not less. It's not watered down. It's not changed. It is exactly the same Holy Spirit that the disciples received on that day, that Jesus promised. But why is it so often we live as though we do not have the Holy Spirit? Why is it that we fail to remember or recognize or acknowledge that we have the Holy Spirit in us? The power of the Holy Spirit is what makes the church the church. It's what makes us us as believers, as followers, as children of God. In fact, the church is where it is today. Billions of people have heard the gospel, have received the gospel message, and have given their lives to Christ. And it's because men and women throughout the generations have lived out of the power of that Holy Spirit and have been faithful and courageous and bold and brave to go into all parts of the world, risking life and limb to share that wonderful news. Something that would have been impossible if they didn't have the Holy Spirit. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, we are hopeless. What does it mean to have the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to live without the Holy Spirit? And why do we so often fail to even acknowledge the Holy Spirit in our lives day to day, week to week? And when you think about it, how often do we as preachers, or do we in a typical given Sunday morning service, or how many often do we in Sunday school or other opportunities in the life of the church talk about the Holy Spirit? How often do we celebrate the Holy Spirit? How are we training ourselves and raising up our young people to live their lives through the Holy Spirit? For we have amazing, undescribable, unlimited power as children of God through the Holy Spirit. But yet, if we don't acknowledge it, if we don't use it, if we don't wield that power to honor God, it's like we don't have it. There's another passage of Scripture in Galatians. And I love this passage. This is Paul talking to the church in Galatia. And this is in chapter 5, for those who want to follow along in the Pew Bible. Sorry, I don't have a slide for it. This is Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 26. Paul says, "The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Paul is saying that there's power in the Spirit. And when we live according to the Spirit, or we allow the Spirit to work in us, those gifts, those fruits of the Spirit are life-changing. Those are things that I want to experience. Joy, peace, love, patience. We could all use more patience, couldn't we? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are things that come from the Spirit, come from the Holy Spirit. They don't come from anywhere else. These aren't gifts, blessings that we can achieve on our own or that come naturally in the world. The things that come naturally in the world are that first list: idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Those are some pretty bad things. That is the result of neglecting or denying or pushing away the Holy Spirit. As believers, we have the Spirit. But do we pay attention to the Spirit? Do we allow the Spirit to guide us? Another word or term used for the Holy Spirit is comforter or counselor. Do we allow the Spirit to guide us, to protect us, to teach us, to connect us better with God? Faith without fire. What does that mean? What is a life without fire? Let me ask it a different way. What is fire without heat? Has anybody ever made a fire? Many of us have fireplaces in our houses. This last weekend, I built a fire in our backyard to burn, some limbs that, a lot of limbs that have come down the last few weeks from storms and whatnot. We had a big pile of leaves, and they cut down a tree in our backyard, and they took most of it, but they left the stump. So I needed to burn all that away. So I made a fire, got it going, stoked it. It was a nice big fire. The kids loved it. We did it on Bryson's birthday and roasted marshmallows. It was fun. But if that fire, the purpose of which is to burn away that stuff that's cluttering up the yard, burn that away, if it didn't have heat, how effective would it have been? It might have been pretty still, might have been nice to look at, but it wouldn't have gotten rid of the debris. It wouldn't have gotten rid of the stuff that we needed to get rid of. It wouldn't have had the power of fire if it didn't have the heat. It would have been pretty useless, fire without heat. What about the Holy Spirit in our lives? We may have the Holy Spirit, we do. If we are believers in Jesus, if we follow Christ, if we've given our hearts and acknowledged and accepted the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, and we've given our hearts to Him, we have the Spirit. God promised it. But do we have the power? Do we have the Spirit in us so deeply, so melded to our spirit, that we live our lives through the power of the Spirit? It is so easy now to neglect the Spirit, to discount it, to kind of make it a second thought. But life, Christian life, what we are called to do, which is serve God, glorify God with our lives, is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. It's impossible. Faith without fire. Faith without fire is also kind of like, let me say it a different way. Other people that you know that are really successful, I mean, they do what they do, and they do it well. One example that I like, who's probably the most famous or maybe most successful, at least, basketball player in all time, Michael Jordan. Anybody remember Michael Jordan? Anybody? I know I'm old and he's retired a long time ago. Michael Jordan was, unarguably, the greatest player ever, right? Michael Jordan was phenomenal. He put the NBA to a whole new level. I mean, he was awesome. Just watching him play just an ordinary game, it was incredible watching him play basketball and what he could do with a basketball and what he could do on a slam dunk and what he could do with his teammates. The championships, the MVP awards, even the endorsements that he had with Nike and all the companies. Michael Jordan was amazing. But you know what? He wasn't a great basketball player because he was taller than everybody else. He couldn't jump taller. He wasn't the biggest jumper in the league. He wasn't the quickest guy on the court. I mean, he didn't have supernatural physical ability. What made Michael Jordan great? It was that fire. It was that fire that came from inside of him that drove him to be the best that he could be. That's what made him great. That's what set him apart. That's what helped him accomplish what he could accomplish on the court. What about musicians? There used to be a show years ago on VH1 called Inside the Music. And it seemed like every time they would profile a particular artist, musical artist, band, or solo artist, and talk about their life and where they came from and how they got to where they are with a number one hit or whatever, it seemed like the recurring theme was they were driven. They were compelled to do this. They would not take no for an answer. They would not give up. They kept chasing their dream until they got it. It's that fire. That fire made the difference in between success, maybe Grammy award-winning success, millions of records, or playing in a local bar somewhere. What about entrepreneurs? The most successful entrepreneurs that we can think of, Bill Gates or Steve Jobs or Michael Zuckerberg. Is that his name? Zuckerberg? Michael? Not Michael Zuckerberg. Whatever his name is. Yeah. Facebook. Everybody knows Facebook, right? Hopefully you're not on Facebook right now on your phones. But these are ordinary guys. And lots of people have done this. They've taken an idea, a little talent, programming or whatever it might be, and they've turned it into a multi-billion dollar company. How is that even possible? Is it because they were smarter, the better programmer, because they went to the best schools? I mean, all three of those guys dropped out of college. No, it's because they had a fire. They had a passion that drove them forward. The power of the Holy Spirit working in us is the difference between an ordinary, uneventful, maybe even challenged, difficult, maybe even miserable life of toil and tribulation versus a life of purpose, a life that is accomplishing something, a life that is making an impact on the people around them, on their church, on their community, in the world. The Holy Spirit is the difference. And without that, we have nothing. Without that, we have no hope of ever getting anything or anywhere. But God gave us the Holy Spirit because He knew we would need Him every single day. Jesus, as a man, was with the disciples, and He poured His whole heart and soul into those men, those 12 men in particular, and especially those three that were closest to Him. He gave them everything. He taught them everything they needed to know. He set a great example for them. He spent 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 3 years with them. And they learned a lot, and they got great examples and great teachings. And then He left, because Jesus knew that He couldn't continue like that. What he did was he sent the Holy Spirit. On Ascension Sunday, he left, physically went up into heaven. But then the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. There's the Father, there's the Son, and then there's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Father. The Holy Spirit is God. But what makes the Holy Spirit special is the Holy Spirit resides within us, right here. The Holy Spirit is just as powerful, just as wise, just as loving as God, as the Father, as the Son. But the Spirit is accessible. The Spirit is always right here, right with you when you need Him. Always available, always ready, always acting on our behalf. Are we aware of that? Do we realize this? Do we care? And as believers in Christ, as men and women who are called to a certain purpose, which is to glorify God, are we trying to do that without the Spirit? How about we invite, not just invite, but allow, open up our hearts and our minds fully to what the Holy Spirit has for us. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, to connect us, to transform us, so that we might glorify God with our lives and be a blessing to ourselves and to all those around us. What I'd like to do is take just a moment. I invite everyone, just right where you are, just to spend a little time in silent, maybe 2 minutes, in silent prayer. But I want you to pray for a deeper connection with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've never done this. Maybe this is new to you. But just spend a little time. Wherever you're at, pray accordingly. Maybe you just like to understand who the Spirit is better. Maybe you want to have a real, tangible, powerful experience with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you just want to not live like you don't have the Holy Spirit any longer. Whatever it might be, just take 2 minutes and pray in silence, just you and God, and ask for that connection. Next week, Patty's going to preach on Pentecost Sunday about receiving the Holy Spirit and the power that comes with that. Let's use this moment to prepare our hearts for that. And after we've had a moment, I will close our sermon in prayer. Holy God, I thank you, for you have given yourself to us. You sent the Spirit to guide us, to protect us, to connect us more fully to you and your will. May we each experience the Holy Spirit afresh this week. May we experience and feel the Holy Spirit working and residing in us. And may that drive us. May that stoke the fire in our belly. May that stoke the fire in our hearts and in our minds to spend our lives, our very selves, accomplishing what you would like us to accomplish. Lord, may we use the gifts that come with the Holy Spirit to transform this world, to love and to heal and to guide those around us. Help us to spread this message of hope and love. Help us to teach people who you are and why you matter. Lord, help us. Help us to use the Spirit in a way that doesn't just transform our lives, but the lives of this community, the lives of this country, the culture around us. Lord, may we trust you, and may we realize that through you all things are possible. Lord, I thank you, and I ask that you bless us. Praise in your name. Amen.